Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Late Bloomer Myths and Stories of the Wise Woman Archetype by Clarissa Pinkola Estes is a 2012 work in the Dangerous Old Woman series that blends myth, folklore, poetry, and Jungian-style psychological commentary. Rather than offering a conventional self-help program, the book presents six sessions built around stories and reflections on the Wise Woman Archetype, a figure Estes uses to describe instinctive feminine knowledge, creative timing, and inner renewal. The title concept of the late bloomer refers to people whose talents, identity, or creative powers emerge after long periods of delay, damage, or concealment. Across its storytelling and commentary, the book argues that development does not have to be fast or externally validated to be real. Its purpose is to help readers recognize inward readiness, reclaim buried gifts, and understand personal transformation as a cyclical process rather than a linear achievement. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Wise Woman Archetype as a model of instinctive female knowledge. The book centers on the wise woman as a symbolic figure representing deep instinct, memory, and lived wisdom in women. Estes treats this archetype not as a fixed personality type, but as an inner source that survives even when social pressures suppress it. That matters because the book is less about abstract empowerment than about recovery of a native mode of knowing. The wise woman is shown through stories and commentary as someone who sees patterns beneath appearances, values soul over performance, and trusts interior timing over external expectations. In this sense, the archetype is a corrective to cultural narratives that reduce women to compliant roles or productivity measures.
The analysis does not suggest that wisdom comes from age alone. Instead, it presents wisdom as something seasoned by suffering, reflection, and repeated engagement with life.
This framing helps the book connect mythology to psychological experience without collapsing one into the other. Secondly, late blooming as a theory of delayed creative emergence. A major idea in the book is that creative life can arrive late without being diminished. Estes uses the late bloomer as a metaphor for people who feel their talent is real, but still unfinished, blocked, or postponed. The image is important because it redefines delay as a condition of maturation rather than failure. The book links blooming to concentration of energies, comparing talent to a tree that flowers by gathering force rather than by growing larger or faster. This metaphor shifts the reader away from comparison and toward internal coherence. The practical implication is that development may require patience, restoration, and protection of inward resources before visible results appear. By emphasizing readiness instead of speed, the book validates periods of incubation, silence, and apparent stagnation. It also speaks directly to readers in midlife transitions or after long detours, showing that personal renewal can begin precisely where earlier narratives of success seem to have ended. Thirdly, myths and folktales as psychological medicine. The book relies on myths, folk stories, blessings, and poems because Estes treats narrative as a way to convey insight that ordinary argument cannot fully reach. Stories are not decorative in this framework. They function as carriers of pattern, memory, and moral recognition. Through tale-based commentary, the book suggests that people understand their own lives more clearly when they encounter symbolic events that echo hidden emotional realities. This method also reflects Estes' broader style, in which intercultural story traditions become sources of practical psychological meaning. The point is not that every tale has one fixed lesson, but that stories can illuminate recurring human dilemmas such as fear, blocked creativity, endurance, or self-recognition. By placing explanation beside narrative, the book invites readers to think with both imagination and analysis. That combination makes the work distinctive within spiritual psychology, because it does not reduce healing to slogans or techniques. Instead, it uses storytelling to recover complexity, ambiguity, and depth as part of the healing process. Fourthly, cycles of retreat and return as the structure of soul work. Another important theme is that the soul does not move in a straight line. Estes emphasizes cycles of doing and solitude, running and staying, involvement and withdrawal, creation and incubation. This idea matters because it challenges the common assumption that progress must always be visible and continuous. In the book, periods of retreat are not losses of momentum, but necessary phases in which inner materials are gathered and transformed. That cyclical model makes the wise woman archetype more realistic than idealized images of constant productivity. It also gives readers a vocabulary for understanding why certain seasons of life require more inwardness than outward action. The book therefore treats rest, silence, and inward attention as active forms of preparation, not as empty pauses. This approach is especially relevant for people whose lives have been disrupted by trauma, caregiving, or major transitions, since it legitimizes nonlinear recovery. Rather than forcing a single arc of improvement, the book describes renewal as seasonal, repetitive, and deeply human, Lastly, forgiveness, questioning, and self-recovery as practical spiritual disciplines. Although the book is symbolic and poetic, it also contains practical guidance on how a person can orient themselves toward healing. Two recurring ideas are forgiveness and the properly shaped question. Forgiveness is presented as something flexible rather than absolute, meaning a person may forgive fully, partially, temporarily, or with boundaries intact. This is a psychologically nuanced view because it avoids turning forgiveness into self-erasure. Likewise, the properly shaped question is described as arising from essential curiosity about what stands behind a situation, which makes inquiry a tool for self-discovery rather than mere problem-solving. Together, these ideas show that healing depends on both discernment and permission discernment about what can be released, and permission to ask deeper questions than surface anxiety allows. The book's practical strength lies in turning inward practice into concrete acts of attention, reflection, and ethical self-protection. That makes it more grounded than many mystical books, even while it remains highly symbolic in style. In conclusion, The Late Bloomer is best suited to readers who are drawn to mythic psychology, women-centered spirituality, and reflective writing rather than to fast-paced self-help. It will be especially valuable for people facing midlife change, creative delay, recovery from trauma, or a sense that their real work has not yet fully arrived. The book offers intellectual benefit by linking folklore, archetype, and psychological insight in a way that encourages readers to interpret their lives symbolically without losing practical clarity. It also offers emotional benefit by legitimizing slow development, retreat, and unfinished becoming. What distinguishes it from similar books is Estée's unusual blend of literary storytelling and psychological commentary. Many books on creativity focus on technique or productivity, while many spiritual books remain abstract. This one combines narrative depth, cultural memory, and inward analysis. It does not promise quick transformation. Instead, it presents renewal as a patient re-entry into one's original shape, which makes it unusually resonant for readers who want wisdom that feels earned rather than manufactured. If you would like to support PhD Clarissa Pinkola Estes PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.